Coming up, it's the final 3 days of Front Page and Home Page here on FM 103.7 FM, WWIB, and WIB.com. And then later, hour two of live local talk from Stewards of Sound Incorporated on our sister station, FM 103.1 AM 680 and Wogo.com. Later in this hour, starting about 10:30, the young fellow will be replacing me both here in the 10 o'clock hour and also early mornings, 5:30 to 7 on WIB. Josh Cole, he's going to be talking to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. So we'll have that conversation for you coming up after 11 on WOGO. Senator Johnson actually will be at some of the construction sites behind Quick Trip across from Woodman's in Altoona at 11:30 this morning. But we've got a half hour with him slated recording a conversation 11:30 to noon. It's 71 days until Election Day. Senator Johnson trying to hold on to another 6 years in the U.S. Senate, Wisconsin's lone conservative U.S. senator, but he's got quite a fight on his hands against former Democratic Senator Russ Feingold. This hour, though, on WIB and WIB.com, one of our favorite guests over the years. We've talked to him many times, Dr. Richard Swenson of Menominee. He has written many books, including one of the more recent books, Contentment, but also best known for Margin, The Overload Syndrome, and many others. Teamed up with his son, Adam, on the book Last Flight Out of Oz. He's our guest this hour to talk with him. This says self-described watchman on the wall, a Christian futurist, to size up where are we at and where are we going in this crazy world we call Planet Earth on WWIB and WIB.com. And so later we welcome your questions and comments for Dr. Swenson as well at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark at WIB.com. By the way, the financial count is in, and I guess this isn't counting any donations that may have come to the Teamwork Africa website, but $2,332 towards a generator for my wife and I and our kids for the New Life community we're going to be living. Thank you so much. We were able to receive another $250 in donations on Saturday at another event in Eau Claire and $201 yesterday. So that tops the $2,500 needed. That's money, Lord willing, will be wired to Liberia today, be able to get the generator as well as the wire necessary to make all of that possible. And electricity, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. That would be a good thing, trust me, for fans and lights and the whole deal. But right now, Dr. Richard Swenson is our guest for the next 53 minutes. Dr. Swenson, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
In fact, when we talk about Liberia, I did one front page broadcast years ago with your son, Matt, from there when he was on staff with Samaritan's Purse there. And, of course, he's traveled to other parts of the world since, right?
That's right. They're in, they're in Greece right now with the refugee thing for a year. So, yeah, that was your first international broadcast, I think, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So, Matt and Susie, how are they? And your son, Adam and Maureen, how are they faring?
Everybody's fine. Thank you.
Now, you and your wife, Linda, have had some health challenges along the way, I understand.
We have. This last 2 years has been difficult, quite bumpy. You know, I haven't missed any speaking, but I've really cut it back. You know, I've probably cut, 70% of my speaking back. And I'm not doing oceans anymore. I'm not doing elevation, at least for a period of time. You know, I'm not doing long.
I think you did some elevation, and it was kind of difficult. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. But then it was in Colorado. It was 9,300 feet. But it wasn't solely that. There were some other factors. And then just a week ago, I was at 8,100 in Montana and was there for 3 days and spoke for 6.5 hours, and it worked very well. So,
okay.
So it's kind of hit and miss. But, we're just behaving ourselves and acting our age a little bit.
Yeah. Well, great to have you on today.
You.
And I guess the question I've been telling people I was going to ask, I don't want to sound too apocalyptic, but how close to the end are we? It's a crazy world we're living in.
Well, you know, for 34 years, I've been watching very closely since 1982. I remember the day I started, as a matter of fact, and I've probably put in 40,000 hours, maybe more than that, probably half of that unreimbursed. I mean, in the first 10 years, I studied 10,000 hours, and Linda studied 5,000 hours just from 1982 to 92. And those were completely unreimbursed. We just work for the kingdom. I mean, if we get paid, that's great. If we don't get paid, that's fine. I just work for the kingdom. We're investing in eternity. So this is my job. I mean, I was a good physician. I won awards. You know, I've never been sued. I love my patients. They love me back. But that's not why I was put on earth. I was put on earth to be an analyst, a diagnostician, a physician for the world. So I put a clinic up by the edge of the world. The world spins by, and I just input data. symptoms. You know, you do lab tests, you do a physical examination, you take a history, and that's all I do every single day for 34 years. I've never seen it like this, Mark. I mean, this is just bizarre. And I was not called to do this based on eschatology. Very specifically, he didn't use the words, but, you know, in essence said, you know, I'm going to put Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation in the closet door. I'm going to lock the door. You're not getting in. Just do the math. And so I was faithful to my calling. I did the math. I mean, trends fall into mathematical patterns. If that sounds too esoteric for people, forget it. But, I mean, that's the way it works. And so I just have developed that over years. And the models, the sequences that I developed have been amazingly predictive, almost frighteningly predictive. And so, you know, one after another after another. I mean, I've seen things coming, you know, 20 years before they come. For example, the healthcare situation we're in right now, I knew this in 1993. I did that program with Dobson on December 7, 2000. In which I mentioned Osama bin Laden, the World Trade Towers, and anthrax. Well, 9/11 happened 10 months after that. I'm not saying that I can actually predict the future. I'm just saying the future is often predictable.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the math, I mean, you know, if you're earning a dollar a day in 30 days, you'll have $30. I mean, that's pretty predictable. And so the trends that I put together, physicians use this too. I mean, you know, if you have certain kinds of symptoms, you can see how they're going to escalate. And so in a sense, I'm not surprised we're here, but right now it's just like everything that I see is being shaken and everywhere is out of control, and I've not seen that before. So for the last few years, certainly eschatology has to be on the table. Intellectual integrity requires that it be on the table. You can't, even if you're a skeptic or a scoffer, I mean, you have to put it on the table because we just have never seen things this bizarre for this extended period of time and seemingly spinning even more out of control.
But I think of just a light and brief and layman summary of your book, which you never liked the title, Hurtling Toward Oblivion, A Logical Argument for the End of the Age. It sounds gloom and doom, but the reality is, one of the ways I sum it up is more and more, faster and faster. Sounds good. We embrace progress, but don't forget fallenness, which is one of the big differences you have with some of the other futurists out there, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it starts with progress. And you know, even just for a few minutes to talk about that, because progress began, I think it's God's gift to us. He said, even in a perfect world, you know, you can build a bridge, you can build a house, you can build a second story on a house. And he gave us this gift of progress, which means the definition is automatic improvement. So under progress, next year will be better than this year, and 10 years from now will be better. And so the first 5,000 years from about 3,000 BC to 1750, there really was no progress. But then in 1750, with the first Industrial Revolution there, all of a sudden progress got traction, and people believed it and had faith in it because things started getting better rapidly, and it was quite amazing. But for the last 30 years, what I call the third era of progress, or progress 3.0, it's out of control. I mean, it's heading straight up. The numbers are exponential, and it is frightening because it's operating under its own instructions. Nobody tells progress what to do. It has to give us more and more of everything faster and faster, as you said, and this is at exponential rates, and our economies are completely dependent on progress doing what it's doing, but it's out of our control. And when you start then thinking about exponentiality, nobody gets exponentiality. Nobody listening gets exponentiality, okay? I mean, it's not part of our analytical nature.
Now, when you say that exponentiality, likely none of us were invoking that word over the weekend in conversations around the campfire or the grill, but exponentiality, we go back to our math days, you know, exponents. And so explain, again, for us lay people, what do you mean exponentiality?
Well, I'll do just a simple example. You take a big room, okay, empty the room of everything, put one chair in there. Every day, add one chair. That's linear, okay? That's linear. Add one chair. At the end of 30 days, you have 30 chairs. Now double. Instead of adding, double. So every day, you double the chairs. At the end of 30 days, you have a billion chairs.
Wow. Yeah.
That's exponential function.
Okay.
We are not operating under linear conditions right now. We still feel our day-to-day is linear because it is. You have 24 hours. You have the same number of seconds that Einstein had or Archimedes or Julius Caesar. Same number of seconds in a day. That's not changed. That seems to be linear. But we all know that underneath this, you know, the world is going faster than that. Then there's something bizarre. Well, the world is going exponential. And this is proven that all the futurists know it. They're not surprised by it. So they predict, for example, in this next century, we'll have 20,000 years of progress. Huh. Now, if you're elated by that, fine, go out and buy yourself a milkshake. But I mean, I'm absolutely frightened by that because So Ray Kurzweil, a well-known futurist, and he's a technological utopian, and he says we will have a utopia of superabundance with 20,000 years of progress. I mean, it'll be just amazing. But Bill Joy, who's the founder of Sun Microsystems, he says he read Ray Kurzweil's stuff and has talked to him and debated him. He said, this is going to kill us all. And I completely agree with Bill Joy. So the question is, with this exponentiality, the doubling or the tripling of, you know, the profusion, all that progress is giving us, more and more and more. And by the way, we're still signed on to that. I mean, people love it. People love to have, you know, the new iPhone comes out and they just go get it, or the new wrinkle on the fender comes out and they go buy that one. You know, we love this, and we want the newest television, and we want the virtual reality sets. I mean, all the things that progress is giving us, but we don't realize that this has become very dangerous now, because you have to factor in fallenness. Just as you said, Mark, I mean, very good for you to remember that, because if you just, and we're shortening the sequence, but if you just take progress, which came as a gift, but we didn't behave ourselves, that's the problem. It was our fault, not God's, that it's out of control right now. So progress is a gift from God. Number two, it became exponential, and that means doubling or tripling, and that is very wild when it happens, exponentiality. If you fold a piece of paper in half 40 times, it goes from here to the moon, and if you fold it 100 times, it goes to the far wall of the universe, the thickness of that pile, and nobody understands that, but that's where we're at, and we're at the rapid side of it. And, we're just not at the beginning.
Another favorite example of people who are familiar with the book Hurtling Toward Oblivion, and this comes from a listener, Wendy, who's one of your bigger fans, and as she was anticipating this interview, she goes back to this example, and let me read from your book, page 104, where you say, the Pacific Ocean spans 64 million square miles and on average is 14,000 feet deep. If all the continents of the world were placed inside it, there would still be room for another Asia. And you say, if I'm reading this correctly, okay, so question, assume the Pacific dried up and it was our job to fill it. If we began with a single drop of water and continued doubling the amount, how many doublings would be necessary to refill the ocean? Answer, 80. Question, how full is the ocean at the 70th doubling? Answer, less than 0.1%. That again ties into this, and I guess it makes us think that until recent times, it feels like most of history, there was almost no progress comparatively. Isn't that almost fair to say?
For most of history, certainly, yes, that's correct, yeah.
And so that's where reading that example and pondering that, and like Wendy, I don't think we ever get over that bathtub example, but the idea that that's where we're at, right? I mean, you've told us before that in 2006, 2007, you sensed this shift. And we've seen things that have happened, you know, and politically, socially, subsequent to that, that...
I noticed a shaking of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just sat up one August afternoon, and I noticed that everything, and I made a list like of 40 things. I don't have the list in front of me, but I'm, you know, international, national, everything is being shaken. And then as a result of that, because of volatility, there's volatility everywhere in what I call soft anarchy, that people are upset, people are frustrated, people are mad. Something's been taken from them that they can't quite name, and if they could find the guy who did it, I mean, they'd do them damage. But, you know, so a year after that sequence came the Great Recession. And following on the heels of that came the Arab Spring, which still hasn't stopped in Syria as well as in Lebanon. But, I mean, Syria has become an international circular firing squad. I mean, there's so many nations. They're shooting at so many subgroups that it's just pure anarchy. And nobody... So the thought is maybe there's like 400,000, people don't even know, maybe 300,000 to 500,000 dead there. Now, in U.S. terms, that'd be like 6 or 7 million Americans dead, proportionally. But you know what? People yawn. People, it doesn't even make the news anymore, except for Aleppo or this little boy. You know, he gets news every once in a while. It's just horrendous. I mean, this is apocalyptic. Syria is apocalyptic. And, you know, but Putin, you know, if you look at Putin, because it's very interesting to think about Putin here, because he's back in... He's always had a base on the Mediterranean. People are surprised by it, but north of Lebanon, Syria has coast to the Mediterranean, and Putin has had a base there for some of his ships, but he's built a great big long runway there. So he's back in the Middle East for the first time in 40 years. And not only that, he invaded Crimea, if you remember that, several years back. And he wants a land bridge now, so he continues to agitate because he wants this land bridge down to Crimea, which is just north of Turkey, for example. And then in 2008, he invaded Georgia, and he took two of the northern provinces, Abkhazia and South Ossetia. And two of the northern provinces, and never gave them back. And now he's got this thing in Syria, and now he's made up with Turkey, with Erdogan. I mean, he was angry with Erdogan. I mean, they were spitting at each other, they were going to start a war, and now they're kissing, and they're just hugging, and they're having a great time. So now he's back in the fold, and then last week they were flying jets out of an Iranian airbase.
Right.
This is happening, and the Iranians backed off, and they said, well, he just took advantage of that. That's bad PR, and he wanted it for PR. But this is happening so fast, and if you look at Josephus from 70 A.D., a Jewish historian who's writing at the destruction of Jerusalem, he says that Magog is that part of Russia. The Scythians owned it and would live there, and that's just north of the country of Georgia. So Georgia is a small little country. It's between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea. But Tbilisi, their capital, has been destroyed 29 times because it's right in between this land corridor, you know, from Asia up into Russia. And Putin now, I mean, he could just, if he wants to, and he's been agitating everywhere. All across the globe he's been agitating, and so has China. So if you look at these countries that are now kind of locked into the Russian corridor, and thinking, it's really happening fast.
Right, and we hear more about Russia in terms of our election. I mean, were they the hackers behind the hack of the DNC and you know, Trump and Russia and Paul Manafort, et cetera? I mean, all of this going on in our crazy world. Dr. Richard Swenson's with us. We need to take a very short break. He's spending the hour with us, richardswenson.com. Of course, from Menominee, your questions and comments for him as we try to get some sense, some enlightenment, some understanding. And even the truth, as we mentioned, his book, Hurtling Toward Oblivion, he also is the author of Contentment and Margin. And while this exponentiality ties in with our world today, Dr. Swenson, both then and now, does encourage, says these days are not about fear. They're about privilege. These days will not be dominated ultimately by the chaos of worldly forces, but by the sovereignty of God. As Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
The cows of Omega Valley Farmers can't come back to school with you.
Attention, class. Huh?
But your kids can bring the natural goodness of Omega Valley Farmers cheeses to lunch every day. Pack their backpacks with tasty, healthy, energizing snacks, like Omega Valley 1-ounce snack cheeses, all containing naturally derived omega-3s. Look for Colby Jack and Monterey Jack, now available in multi-packs. Omega Valley Farmers of Wisconsin, naturally better.
When you put David Crowder, Christy Knuckles, Matt Redman, and Chris Tomlin together on a CD, you get power. Powerful songs that compel you to worship Jesus. Christian Stanfield joins the lineup with Good Good Father. During the Catch and Match month of August, your suggested gift of $40 or more to the ministry will be immediately doubled. As for the powerful CD Passion, Salvation's Tide is Rising. Call us, write 2396 Halley Road, Chippewa Falls, 54729. Go to www.ib.com. Or come on in and see us, y'all.
There is no stopping what you plan. You give us faith to move the mountains and hope to dream again.
Front page, WWIB. It's the final few days of this show. Tomorrow, inviting my wife and kids in to talk about the trip we're embarking on to Liberia for 9 months, leaving on Saturday. My last day here at WIB and WOGO is, and last day doing Front Page is Wednesday. And so we'll start it off with Dr. Drew Kaminsky from Back on Track Family Chiropractic sponsoring the opening segment. And then I'll give some thoughts and we'll open it up to you. Your final thoughts in the 24 plus years of this show. One of our favorite guests over that span has been Dr. Richard Swenson from richardswenson.com, a futurist, a watchman on the wall, author of many great books, and our guest today up until 11. Your questions and comments, welcome at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark at wib.com. You talk some about Putin, but Trump and Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, a former Republican governor, turned libertarian, who again, for the second straight time, is his party's nominee for president. He supports the legalization of drugs and has his own pot candy company. And Jill Stein, these are the four main candidates. I guess you can throw independent Evan McMullen into the mix, a former CIA official. But this isn't a dream election field. Apparently, the Lord wants to make it clear that like politics isn't the answer either, Dr. Swenson.
Well, if you just look at the final four on the Republican and Democratic side between Trump and Cruz and Clinton and Bernie Sanders, not one of them has the slightest chance of ever bringing this nation together. I mean, we're at such a point. It's the wildest election cycle, I think, ever probably in the history of the world, but certainly in our generational memory. And none of them, I mean, just to show the level of anarchy and shaking that we have even the slightest chance of bringing the nation together and even partly together. So we're very, very polarized as a country. And one person says we live in an era when everybody's mad at everything all the time. Hmm. And it just seems that it's a weird... But, I tell people if the world is spinning out of control, we must be sure that our world is not spinning out of control. Mm-hmm. Our lives are not spinning out of control. And some of the first slides I put up, the first two slides I put up, the first one is, this is what the world looks like. And it says stress, change, complexity, speed, intensity, imbalance, overload. And I said, those things are all not necessarily bad. I mean, stress, if you have a low stress life, it's fatal. If you have no change, well, God has a change agenda for your life. And complexity, your car is very complex. But if you flinch when I put that slide up, I mean, stress, change, complexity, speed, intensity, imbalance, this is what the world looks like, and it's a legal process. It must look like that because that's the direction progress goes. But the second slide is, this is what the kingdom looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, humility, meekness, long-suffering, mercy, service, and it goes on. Now, we live in that first slide. The stress change completely because God decided to put us here at this time. We have to live in that world. Our boots are on the ground in that world. But we must look like the second slide. We must look like the kingdom. If we look like if we live in the world and the church looks like the world is not interested. It sees that all the time. But if we live in the world and look like the kingdom, well, the world has never seen that before. And finally, some light, finally some hope. And by the way, I'll just piggyback and say this is what you guys are doing. You guys are doing a transcendent thing. I know lots of missionaries have headed off, but there's a Jewish word, a Hebrew word, tzaddik. A tzaddik is a righteous man. And the righteous, the tzaddikim are known, one of the things that characterize the tzaddikim is that they intentionally disadvantage their lives for the sake of others. And that's what you guys are doing. And I applaud you for it. And it isn't easy. And I know, it isn't easy. And it'll be an interesting transition and see how things go for you. But, our Matt and Susie do it and other people do it. But this is transcendence. And this is what the world needs to see from the church.
And what stands out, and even as our family, and I've been there four times, my wife's been there 11 and her trips have been longer, and so we're not going completely blind, but two of our four kids have been there. But the idea, the words that come to mind is slow down. That one of the biggest ways, it seems to me, you can be countercultural is in a world of more and more faster and faster. And it's crazy. I mean, I find myself on the highway, right? We've recently increased, Wisconsin's caught up with our neighboring states, we've increased the speed limit to 70, but let's face it, most people are going 80 or faster. And it used to be, I think you can go back in the early 20th century and find that they warned you that 10 miles an hour was fast. And so it is crazy.
Sounds to me like you're not coming back.
Well, I'm just saying, so we are, there's a sense in which My wife talks about looking forward to the slower pace.
Right.
Another
right.
friend of ours, Nicole Bagwell, has been to Liberia several times, and she talks about it. You know, she says to my son Dawson, who hasn't been there before, he's 15. Like, you're gonna, it slows down, and so it's like a stepping back in time. You know, significantly back, maybe.
Linda and I cherish our simplicity and contentment. They're life-giving for us, and we live slower lives. We're slow adapters for technology and so on. We just cherish that. We're just not going to get on the treadmill. I mean, because the pace of the kingdom is different than the pace of this world.
So hearing that message, though, this will be a shorter segment. We'll have another half hour still with Dr. Richard Swenson. But hearing that, I mean, just personalize that for the individual listening. For what does that mean for individuals, for churches, for families, et cetera, in terms of being intentional, right? And being intentional in terms of not just letting the current carry you along.
Yeah, well, passivity will not, you cannot win this game with progress. The more and more of everything faster and faster, the profusion phenomenon is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. And passivity will not even begin to touch it. Only intentionality at extreme levels is going to be able to dent it. But if culture is one hand around our throat and one hand around our wallet, I want to negotiate the terms of engagement. I refuse to live that way. And so we live according to the pace of the kingdom. Actually, Christ showed us how to do this. The Bible talks about it all the time, never mind that we ignore it. But, for example, even in Hebrews 13:5, it says, do not love money and be content with the things that you have. Because why? Because God has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So this is one of the places, and I wrote a book on contentment, where contentment is commended and commanded in Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have. That doesn't mean you can't go out and buy some more clothes or you can't change your car out. But you have this contentment, which is a transcendent gift, because the contentment gift allows, will have victory over any kind of circumstances. And no matter how bad they are, contentment can rise that high. Simplicity is just a nice tool, but contentment of the two is the aristocrat of the siblings between simplicity and contentment. They're very powerful and very countercultural and get people's attention.
All right, more to come with Dr. Richard Swenson, and your questions and comments welcome at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at wib.com. Talking about the world as it is and where is it going.
Inside me was darker by the day, so I promise to stay here close beside him. Surely God would want his children safe. Oh.
Nobody stacks up to Menards' great selection of concrete construction blocks. Whether it's for foundations, walls, home, or commercial structures, Menards has a large selection of blocks in stock and ready to go, including wide and narrow blocks, corner block, split face block, and more. Put your next building project on a solid foundation with big savings on concrete construction block on sale now during the Labor Day construction sale at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Wisconsin Realty, full service and a low 4.8% seller's commission. Wisconsin Realty, it's where you belong.
Some people think we have better deals on new and used vehicles on certain days of the week. Well, it's true.
Yep, we have the best deals on new and used vehicles on the days that end in Y. You're not going to find a better deal on a new Ford car, truck, SUV, or crossover than right now during our Ford Freedom Sales Event. I'm Rick Moore, the owner of Eau Claire Ford, Lincoln, and Quick Lane.
And I'm Kina. Our best-selling crossover is the Ford Escape. Come in and test drive a new Ford Escape, and you'll see why this is our number one selling crossover.
You can get 0% financing and no payments for 90 days on the new Ford Escape that you want. We even have $1,000 smart cash on some vehicles. We just finished our major remodeling expansion. You'll love the large selection of new and used vehicles. You'll find more customer parking, more service bays, and quick lane so we can service your vehicle even faster.
When you buy a new Ford or one of our premium used vehicles, you can get our new lifetime powertrain warranty. The Ford Freedom Sales Event. It's going on now at Eau Claire Ford, Lincoln, Quick Lane. It's not just about the cars, it's about the people.
That's the difference.
Front page, Avalon, WWIB and WIB.com. Their song In Not Of came to mind as we had First half hour of our conversation with Dr. Richard Swenson from RichardSwenson.com. So you talked about some health challenges, but still speaking, maybe not quite as often, but still pretty active, out and about and much in demand. So what about in the writing area? What are you working on?
Well, I'm not going to reveal that, but I'm just finishing up a book that I've been on for 10 years, and I'm very
10 years.
Very
wow.
excited about it, actually. I'll have to reveal it later. But
now, this is fiction or nonfiction?
This happens to be fiction.
Okay.
Here's an interesting little tidbit. It deals with a really bad guy who happens to live in Bahamas. Nothing about Bahamas, but that's where the guy happens to live, and we put him there a long time ago. And it also deals with Jerusalem today and Jerusalem 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified. And I got a call, I think like last June or something, for me to speak on a cruise for Messianic Leadership Forum Roundtable.
Huh.
And Messianic leaders from around the world, there were 300 of them there. There was like 20 from Israel and most of them from the States. I spoke to these people four times and had shank of lamb with a bunch of Israelis, two of mm-hmm. which didn't speak English, at one of the meals. And it's in the Bahamas. So here I'm in the Bahamas talking about Jerusalem today and Jerusalem 2,000 years ago with these Messianic Jews. I mean, that's a setup job. God had that in mind right along. Huh. So it just is very interesting to see those connections.
I want to go back to politics. It is an election year. The election is 71 days away. You are a man of faith. I said personally that I would respect anybody wherever they come in because it's such a crazy election year. And I've heard all sorts of things. I mean, people from not voting to I'm going to write in anybody. I'm never Trump. I'm never Hillary. Can you give us a little bit more? I mean, because people are really confused. And I think friendships have been, there have been a lot of debates and arguments. I thought that we saw arguments in the church over Act 10 from Governor Walker. We've seen as much or more maybe with this election.
Yeah. Well, I think if you just take a look at it, and I'm not revealing any political data, what I'm going to do, as a matter of fact, I might not even tell my relatives or neighbors, I don't know, because it's such a hot potato. But when you look at this, when I say that everything is being shaken and things are just kind of blown up, I want to stand back and take a couple deep breaths and be sure that my analysis is correct, and it clearly is correct. I mean, there's people that resist it, but mostly they're doing it on emotional basis, and there are people that join it on emotional basis, but I just want to do the numbers. If you look at the Republican label, that has been blown up here because, really, I mean, quite frankly, Trump isn't a Republican. He's a populist. He doesn't have the conservative values that are typically what defines it. So what does the Republican label? What about the evangelical label? That's been blown up because Trump got one-third, Cruz got one-third, and Rubio got one-third, and those are three very different candidates. So we're left here, with a lot of dust on the conservative side of the ledger here by this, and you see this everywhere. You see this with Brexit, and you see this with the coup attempt in Turkey, and you see this in the entire Middle East, and you see it in our economy. You see it in our health care, and that ties into politics, too, as a matter of fact. But right now, and health care has been bombed by profusion, and I've given talks at the state level to medical associations on burnout, because burnout of physicians is 55%. And in some...
So what do you mean? What does that mean? Burnout of physicians is 55%.
55%. And this is a study by Mayo Clinic from 2011 to 2014. It was 45% in 2011. Now it's 55%. There's criteria for burnout. I won't go into all the details of it. It's Mayo Clinical Proceedings is the journal that publishes, but they're not the only ones. I mean, it's widely known inside the medical profession that the burnout, and so what's a synonym for burnout? Disengagement. If you're disengaged, you're burnout. If you're engaged, you're not burnout. But 55% of physicians right now, and this has risen very fast. I mean, it's lightning fast. And so one of the things I've talked to them about, profusion alone can cause this, but of course there's a lot of other system and structural issues that have caused it too, part the Affordable Care Act and part the information technology groups who, have just added more and more things that they have to do with the computers, just more and more and more. So ICD-10, I don't know if you know about ICD-10, but those are the diagnostic codes. There used to be 13,000 diagnostic codes, and now there's 70,000 diagnostic codes. And, I mean, it just keeps going in that particular direction.
I want to do some quick hitters with you in a second, but throw out a subject and get some response. You raised Brexit. I want to hear Black Lives Matter and other things. But ISIS, but a listener, one more time. I'm not saying who do you support for president. It sounds like we're not going to get that. But this is, again, a listener who says, I know I'm not the only one out here who wants to know. She says, what in tarnation are we supposed to do with this election? Question marks, exclamation points, capital letters. Who are we supposed to vote for? And finally, says Dr. Swenson, blessings to you and your family. We've loved to hear what you've had to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
So any last direction from people? I mean, are you like me? You'll respect people's choice, whatever it is, because this is such a baffling, befuddling election?
Oh, I think it's beyond redemption, quite frankly. I think no matter what happens, you know, the U.S. is going to lose. We're just all beat up. And so if you think of the nature of the church has to stand and not faint. The church has to stand for the values of the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you should do every single day. Put Jesus in the front of your brain and walk in his direction, right? Put him right in front of your head. You know, we should seek sanctification every single day. Walk along that particular path, go toward godliness, and be transcendent. Rise above. Seek to live above circumstances and accept suffering and purify our motives and grant grace to other people. These are outrageous values that nobody knows, but it's the world needs it so much. But so if you were to extract the church today from the world, I mean, from the United States or the world, I mean, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for our prognosis. This nation is so messed up, it needs the church. Now, will the church stand or fall? That's the question. So I want to be the church. And I don't know, even to this day, exactly what I'm going to do, but whatever happens is going to be a difficult choice for us. I mean, everybody has to agree on that. And so I say, well, then what's the answer? Even if it's a problematic answer afterwards, see, no matter what we have, it's not going to be bliss afterwards. It's going to be problems. We ought to just adjust to that. So what does the church do? Gird up your loins every morning and climb on the problem pile and act redemptively. And so we'll have opportunity to minister and to speak truth, mm-hmm. and maybe there will be persecution, maybe there won't. We should have kindness, your gentleness be evident to all. Live in that second slide, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And don't worry, as you said, do not ever be afraid, ever. Don't be anxious, don't worry. We're born for this time because God decided to put us here. He has an agenda for us to do. He has confidence in our ability to do what he's asked us to do. And so let's get on with it. It's all good in one sense. It's a mess.
Yeah. Richard Swenson.
It's all good because eternity is, listen, I'm good at math. Eternity is a lot longer, like in these next 4 years,
right.
Believe me.
But just breaking it down, I mean, so you've got a lot of the evangelical vote, I mean, even right during the primary process, got behind Donald Trump. He had a gathering with 500 evangelicals in New York. And yet there's a lot of difference and a lot of disagreement. You've got a lot of folks who, you know.
That's what I said. The evangelical label has been blown up, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it mean?
Yeah.
You know, because you had one-third for Trump, one-third for Cruz, one-third for Rubio.
Yeah.
And that's a wide divergence. So people are saying, what does it mean to be evangelical? And then people, if they didn't like Rubio, they say, well, I don't like evangelicals. If they didn't like Trump, they said, I don't like evangelicals.
What is
the Republicans going to do with their label being tarnished? What is the evangelical church going to do with its label being tarnished? Everything is messed up right now.
Right. And from a... It does. And so you hear a lot of people, Dennis Prager and Hugh Hewitt are two of the hosts we have on WDOGO, and they have both endorsed Trump. I like the way Prager says it. He said, hey, he was 17th of my 17 choices, but he says he's better than Hillary. And so that's my last question about politics to you. What do you say to that from Prager? And Hugh Hewitt talks about the war on the court and feels like, hey, with his argument regarding the Supreme Court persuaded even Never Trumper, best-selling author Brad Thor, to change his mind recently and say, this country has cancer, we have 3 months to live, that Hillary is no hope for a cure, in his opinion, but that at least there's a possibility of that hope with Trump.
Well, all of that is true. I mean, I understand the math of the Supreme Court, too.
Because you're talking the next 30 to 40 years with the court beyond just a four-year term.
I understand all that. The concern I have is I cannot vote for, well, no, Well, you're people. I will vote for somebody that Jesus would vote for.
Hmm.
And then, if Jesus shared my view about the Supreme Court, you see, if bad things are going to happen, maybe we deserve for bad things to happen. I don't know. Hmm. See, I'm not God, and I'm not making a judgment on that. But God makes judgments. God, as a matter of fact, there's many ways the systems of America have not been righteous systems. I mean, I've been breaking it down and looking at it for a very long period of time. You know, our healthcare system. I mean, there's many wonderful clinicians and wonderful things, but believe me, from the inside, it's not a righteous system. Our economic system is not our judicial system is not a righteous system. Our political system is not a righteous system. So killing 55 million or whatever the number is now, you know, in terms of abortion, so the judgment at some point will come. And if it's the judgment that comes, then we have to stand in the judgment too. I mean, we have to be a part of that, and suffering will come. But those who are the redeemed have a redemptive role in even in judgment to speak to people.
Yeah.
And to be loving and kind and to and to just speak truth. And EMP bombs, so there is sooner or later, I mean, the national security knows that sooner that China, as well as many other countries, have the ability to turn our lights out anytime they want to, either with an EMP bomb or by hitting the grids through cyber terrorism, anytime they want to. But they know that worse will be done to them. So they say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So I was talking to my sister. She asked me about the EMP bomb, which would blow out, you know, a third of America in terms of its ability to have anything that works. And I said, well, what would you do? I mean, there's only a certain amount of food. You know, she's asking me these questions. There's only a certain amount of food. And so people, you know, even your neighbors are going to come like in 3 days or 5 days and knock on your doors. And then people with guns are going to come. And she said, oh, that's easy. I would just give my food away and then starve to death.
Hmm.
I mean, that's just what she said. I mean, that was just her reflex. You see, mm-hmm. that's transcendent, because you starve to death, you go to heaven, you get you rejoice because you made the right decision.
Hmm.
So that's what you're doing. See, sadiks intentionally disadvantage their lives for the sake of other people. We have to do that.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Swenson, one more segment. I've got some questions. I'd like to just throw various subjects out to try to get some quick hitter responses. Everything from illegal immigration to Brexit, to ISIS and Black Lives Matter, but your questions and comments go to the front of the line, 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark@wwib.com. You know, there's a new name in auto body shops, but their experience isn't. Wasota Collision and Customs, calling them for expertise in auto body repair and renovation.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
First, Gary from accounting came in with the sniffles. Just a cold, he said. But it was not a cold. Then Janet breaks out in a heavy sweat. It's the flu. Then round and round the office it goes. But when it's your turn, well, it's not going to be your turn, because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're waiting for the coughing, sore throat, aching flu to pass, you can go to the big game. Score! Shield yourself with a flu shot from Rite Aid before it's too late. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
WWIB, when you're hungry later on today, here's a healthy snack idea from Omega Valley Farmers of Wisconsin. Grab an Omega Valley Farmers Buffalo Wing 1 ounce snack cheese, melt it in a whole wheat tortilla, and dip it in some salsa. All right, front page, WWIB and WIB.com. Final 12 minutes with Dr. Richard Swenson from RichardSwenson.com, talking about this mad world we live in and where it's at, where it's going in this election year, 71 days before an election. Not a lot of hope there. You're going to have to look to Jesus for the hope. I think I agree with Dr. Swenson on that. I like what Pastor Tom Flaherty said. I've played this prayer a number of times from the National Day of Prayer outside of the Capitol, where I had the privilege to be praying for the media this past May 5th. And that was, he said, there's not a Republican answer. There's not a Democratic answer. But Jesus is the answer. Let's go to John in Ladysmith. Hey, John.
Hey, I got a question I'd like your guest to answer, and then I'll just ask it and hang up. What does he think of the quote that says, evil people will rule when good people do nothing? Okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
I don't think good people should ever do nothing. It depends on what the good people do. And I believe in political activity, and I laud the people who go into that arena, because it's just something I wouldn't be able to do. But I'm very glad when good righteous people go into that, and we have a requirement to vote, for sure. So I think good people should stand. I mean, redeemed is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Christians should stand and should be active. But I think that there's a border beyond which we really should not go. And when we start discrediting Christ with our rhetoric or with our anger, then you've crossed the border. I mean, you're not speaking for Jesus anymore. Please don't tell me you're a Christian, because you're not speaking for him at that point.
Needless to say, you're not thrilled with the choices, and I can agree with you. All right, let's play a little bit of quick hitters, Dr. Swenson. And again, welcome people's questions and comments if you want at 723-2555. Final 10 minutes to ask Richard Swenson a question, 1-800-657-4769. The word ask, hopefully I can still say that here, final 3 days on WIB after 30 years. But let me start off with, you mentioned Brexit earlier. Just some brief thoughts on a variety of subjects, starting with that.
Nobody expected it. David Cameron asked it like six times. As many people in the Parliament agreed with this going forward to put this thing to rest once and for all. But it was their Donald Trump moment. It was the moment of kind of this anarchy, let's burn it all down, start over in a sense. And it passed it in 52-48, something like that. It just shakes up all the EU. We will have to see what's going to happen, but it's just the soft anarchy again.
You feel it's good or bad?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, nobody knows. That this was not the EU didn't have any provisions for this whatsoever. I mean, it shook everybody. So even the people within England, who within Great Britain, who find themselves on a losing side of this, are trying to decide what to do. Are you going to have? Right now, they're actually not doing too badly. Certainly in the Olympics, they did very well, and I was rooting for them. But right. Who knows?
Very good.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
ISIS.
ISIS is the most evil thing since Genghis Khan. I mean, you just have never seen anything like it. It's the blackest, darkest thing since Genghis Khan, who would just kill a million people in a town or something. And it's the devil taking his mask off and standing there. And I'll say something about Islam. We had a friend here. She's a Fulbright scholar. She was here for 2 years. We got to know her. She's a godly person, and she's a believer. And she's a Syrian Christian, and lives in this area in Kurdistan. She all her friends are Muslims, because she's surrounded by them. But she said, "I love my friends, but I hate their religion." She says, "I take issue for those people who says ISIS is not Muslim. ISIS is pure Islam."
What about Sharia law?
Oh my!
You can't do a quick hitter on that, maybe.
No, I'm not going to do a quick hitter on that. I mean, you can't have it in America. You just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But those other countries that are experimenting with portions of it or something, I don't know, a carve out for a group like hyper conservative Muslims is just a dangerous thing to contemplate. I'm just glad I'm not in politics.
Black Lives Matter.
Well, do Black Lives Matter? Do Blue Lives Matter? I saw a comment recently. It says it seemed like no lives matter. That's my comment.
Hmm.
I mean, everything should matter. But Black Lives Matter gets very angry if you talk about, somebody else's life matters too. And Blue Lives Matter, I mean, my goodness, just shooting down police, especially the Dallas thing and others. It's just the anarchy I'm talking about.
Hmm. Is there a war on police, as author Heather McDonald contends there is?
Oh, I think certainly there is. I mean, they're just sure there is. They don't make any bones about it. And It's horrible. And what a horrible time for Kaepernick to make his statement, just to sit down. I mean, I understand
Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback from San Francisco, yeah. right, sat down for the national anthem Friday night at the Packer game.
And that in a sense, that's fine if he feels that way. But, just don't be quite so public about it, because now, once again, the whole nation is mad. The whole nation is mad. Everybody's talking about
mm-hmm.
that. And I'm
yeah.
just saying, could you do it in something that just didn't make the whole nation mad?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
illegal immigration.
Well, let me talk about, what's happening in Europe, because Matt and Susie are involved in that now.
Your son is in Greece. Your son is in Greece.
And so you're talking about America, but these immigrants, there's 60 million. There's 60 million migrants right now that are different. The highest since World War II, and some people say the highest ever. And a lot of these come from Syria, and the second highest are like Afghanistan. They come from really brutalized countries. And most of these people, if you ask them, I mean, they didn't do anything to deserve this. They didn't do anything to deserve this. They were just there. They were working and loving their kids and so on, and all of a sudden their house blew up, and they lost half their family, and they ran for the border. And so I talked to Susie. She has such a sweet heart, and she was on the island, you know, meeting these boats coming across. Mm-hmm. I said, every person that comes needs to be greeted with the face and joy mm-hmm. of Jesus. I mean, she mm-hmm. doesn't. They don't greet them. They work for Samaritan's Purse. They don't greet them in the name of Jesus. I mean, they're not converting them in the boat. There's very clear lines about mm-hmm. how far you can do, but they should be loved. They're in horrible straits. But I said, taken as a whole, as a mega phenomenon across Europe, this cannot stand. Yeah. It will destabilize the country, the entire European Union. And so you have to look at from an individual basis to the large thing. And I think the same thing here. You know, some of these people coming across, I mean, some of them have heartbreaking situations and just want to do like any of us would want to mm-hmm. do to help ourselves. But there are laws, and I agree with the fact there are laws, and there should be an immigration pattern, you know, process, and we should follow that.
Now, Dr. Swenson, the final 4 or 5 minutes here, and you seem to be hurt in terms of your heart is hurt by that. You say divide. Talk to me about this desire for somebody that could unify us in a positive way to try to bring some societal reconciliation, healing.
Well, I'm just going to, you know, I think the tools, the margin and balance tools, I don't think they're enough anymore. I think you need transcendence. So when they talk about transcendence, then that's the book Sovereignty. I'm not selling books here. I'm just explaining sovereignty. God is sovereign. He is transcendent. If, you know, so put yourself at his feet 10 minutes, you know, and then come back and live out the rest of your life. You live a transcendent life. And the other thing is contentment, because contentment is transcendent, and there's other things that are in there. Let me just tell you a story about Liberia. I hadn't planned to do this, Mark, because you asked this question. I was watching, you know, the Ebola, and Matt and Susie live right down the beach. You've been in that place, Elwha Hospital. We know where that is. That's the epicenter where all the action, the treatment was. They were bringing everybody there, and Ebola is a horrible, horrible, horrible disease, and it's like ISIS. It's the infectious disease equivalent of ISIS, the terrorists. I mean, just a black, dark, horrible, ugly, satanic disease. And these people hurt all over the place, and their bones hurt, and their muscles hurt, and their cells hurt, and they bleed from every orifice, and their eyebrows bleed, and then you have to take them and isolate them, and somebody comes in with his moon suit, triple gloved, you know, double masked, and takes care of them. And I called Linda down, and I said, nobody, in tears in my eyes, nobody on God's earth should have to die like that. Nobody should have to die like that with that particular disease. We're getting older. Maybe we should buy a one-way ticket to Liberia and walk in that hospital and just get on our hands and knees and hug their necks and with no gowns on and no masks on and just love them until we're dead. And everybody said, what was that all about? That is so stupid. You knew you, and then the healthcare workers would have to take care of us. And I said, no, just let us die right here. But then maybe 2 more people would go over there. And then maybe after a little while, 100 people would come over. And everybody's going to say, what's up with those insane Christians? What are they doing?
Yeah.
The chances of us going were never 100%, but the chances of us going were never 0%.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the church has to start doing things like that, like what you're doing and what, you know, other people do, heroic Christian faith.
I was struck by Mother Teresa. If you watch the movie Letters, we watched it on Netflix just recently, and it was inspiring. And I think it reminded me, like, wow, she wasn't resting. She was going. The guy she picked up on, that first guy in the street of Calcutta, he was dying. She brought it. She said, nobody should die that way. Very similar to what you said.
Yeah.
She took him, and she was there. The ministry to the dying amongst the poorest of the poor. Finally, a question from a listener. Dan says, do we have an obligation to be salt and light, or should we acknowledge the skies and move to a country that acknowledges God?
Oh, if God calls you to do that, you know, then move, I think, would be okay. But I would stand and be salt and light. Ministry will be everywhere. There'll be a lot of broken people, as I foresee it. And so hopefully there'll be we see people moving away from church, moving away from the gospel, but hopefully there'll be a hunger in some, and we can reach them.
Dr. Swenson, you have the head and the heart. You are brilliant, but you have that broken-hearted compassion of Jesus. And so how can people regularly hear your thoughts on matters like they've heard this hour?
Well, I'm working actually on four books right now and at various levels. One is a redoing of The Hurtling Toward Oblivion because the thesis is still completely intact. And yes, I hate the title, so it'll be retitled. But, you know, an update on that and some other books and then this other book. So just pray for me and, you know, when the books come out.
Are you on Twitter, Facebook, social media at all, blogging?
No. I'm NSA on Facebook.
We would love to have you blog if you'd consider that. It'd be great if you would consider that.
Yeah,
thank you so
much. I did a newsletter for a while and then couldn't continue.
And it was the best. Dr. Swenson, certainly one of our favorite guests, right up there with Larry Crabb. Thank you so much, and God's best to you and your wife.
Same to you, Mark. Right. God bless you.
Richard Swenson.